Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
And NFL draft coverage on 710 ESPN brought to you by joinlapd.com. Visit joinlapd.com today to learn how you can make a difference in your community in a position that is always essential. All right, we're keeping you up to date on the NFL draft, and we will have it for you pick by pick. The most recent pick, Laviska Shenault, who is a wide receiver from Colorado, goes to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So that is the most recent pick, and we're bearing down now. We're about 10 picks away from the Rams, and they are flying. The Bears pick is in. We're waiting on that, and the Browns will be next up. All right, we're going to do some fast track. We can do multiple things at once. John, one side of the coin, the Rams go wide receiver with their first pick. Other side of the coin, they go linebacker. Call it in the air.
I think it's tails. I think they're taking a linebacker.
Tails, they're taking a linebacker.
Linebacker, that's my guess, too. That's what they need. All right, it's to you, Ireland.
Fast track.
Okay, Mace, a porn site, a pornography site, says it will pay Joe Buck $1 million to announce its live shows. Oh, you know, he'll basically do play-by-play of live porn shows. The site says it's also accepting applications from other national and local sports commentators. The site is making the offer, I Am Live, reached out to Sports Illustrated to let him know it's also accepting applications from any national or local commentator. So you and I theoretically could apply for this job.
And what would we do?
We'd be doing live play-by-play of porn. So my question is, what's your price? How much would they have to pay you to announce live porn? And could either one of us keep our jobs if we cross that Rubicon, if we agreed to do it?
We could not continue to do our jobs. Okay. We would be ejected from ESPN very quickly.
Probably on the day we did it.
And
right?
my price is $1 million.
Oh, I wouldn't do it for any less than $50 million. Because you're basically...
Seriously?
You're kneecapping your career.
Yeah, but I can do that. I don't need a career after that.
After 1 million?
After 1 million? Yeah, who am I? I don't live a fancy life.
No. 1 million's not enough. First of all, you get
plenty for me.
First of all, you get taxes would take 500,000. So I think 50 million that means I get to keep 25 and I'm on my way bring on the live porn. Let's go.
By the way, Joe Buck on the show on Monday.
Yeah, but, he had a very funny response. He said he'd do it when Al Michaels and Bob Costas agreed to do it.
There you go.
You know what else he said? He said, depending on the site, they could just be handing some of my money back to me.
Yeah, which is a great line. Yeah. And
he was funny about it.
Yeah, so Monday he's coming on, Lindsay?
Yep, he'll be on Monday.
Monday he
Excellent.
Will be on. Yep.
All right,
Funch.
Fast track.
Yesterday was World Book Day. What's the last book you read, and what are your three favorite books of all time? One favorite book.
The book I'm reading now, and I'm almost finished, is... Do you know who Jonathan Karl is?
Yes, I do.
He is the... Lead White House reporter for ABC News. He has a book out called Front Row at the Trump Show, and it is a fascinating book about all the... things he's seen and witnessed, and he actually covered Donald Trump back as just a businessman in New York when he was working for the New York Post, so he's known him for a long time. It's a very interesting read, and let's just say that some of the stuff you see played out from the White House podium is completely planned, and he's playing the media, and the media is falling for it. And so it's fascinating to kind of read that stuff. I think if you ask me what my favorite book of all time is, it's a spiritual book written by a pastor, a guy named Rick Warren. It's called A Purpose-Driven Life. If I'm correct, I think Rick Warren inaugurated two different presidents. I think he might have done Clinton and Bush. But it just talks about how everybody is here for a reason and talks about what those reasons are. So that would be my most recent one is the Jonathan Karl book, and my favorite book is Purpose-Driven Life.
Lindsay?
The last book that I read was Catch and Kill by Ronan Farrow, which John referenced a couple times. Yeah, that was a fantastic book. And then I listened to the podcast after because that came out,
I don't know, too.
a couple months after the book came out, and it was really, really good. My favorite book of all time is The Secret by Rhonda Byrne.
Yeah.
It's a great book. I know it's kind of like a self-help book all about like the law of attraction, but you know,
it's a spiritual book. Yeah. Do you believe in the law of attraction? I always believe you can secret something.
Yeah, for sure. And it's something that I actually just told Mason that I started rereading again a couple days ago because I feel like I need a little bit of grounding during these quarantines.
Yeah, we could all manifest some better stuff. By the way, the Bears take Cole Kmet, tight end from Notre Dame, with the 43rd pick in the draft, and the Browns
he'll play a lot.
Are on the clock.
He's a really good player.
Funch, what about you?
The last book I read, I'm not a huge reader. I think the last book I read maybe was like 5 years ago, and it was a Phil Jackson 11 Rings book.
Okay.
And yeah, I've read that book. That's a great book.
Yeah. And my favorite book of all time, I know this sounds juvenile, but The Kill a Mockingbird.
No, that's not juvenile. That's not like one of the juvenile. Great novels ever written.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Funch, if we ever get back to normal and you're allowed to travel and you know, go see things, Aaron Sorkin, who is my favorite writer of all time, but he hasn't written any books. He writes screenplays. Aaron Sorkin has rewritten the play To Kill a Mockingbird, and it's on Broadway.
Really?
If that's your favorite book, you got to go see it.
I'll check it out. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, totally weird. Mace, what's yours?
Book I most by the way, I never read politics. It's funny you mentioned the Jonathan Carl book. I never read any politics. I never read any nonfiction. I only read fiction.
Oh, boy. So you didn't read any of the Game Change books?
No, I did not.
Oh, wow. My next book I'm going to read is the Michael Lewis book on the White House. You know, Michael Lewis, who wrote The Blind Side.
Oh, did he write one?
Wrote Moneyball, yeah.
He's smart. He's really smart. Last book I read was The Glass Hotel by Emily St. John Mandel. I just finished it. It's a fantastic book. It's the second book I've read by her, and my favorite book of all time is Garth Stein, The Art of Racing in the Rain. I'm going to put that in the lead spot with The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho right there as a tight number two.
So The Art of Racing in the Rain was a movie that came out that nobody really saw. Did you see the movie?
The movie does not do the book justice at all. It actually stars my neighbor, Milo Ventimiglia, with all due respect, just wasn't a good movie. It's a book. It's a great book. If you're a dog lover, it's the best book ever written, I think.
Well, that's like, have you ever read the book The Shack?
Yes, I have.
Same thing with that. The movie came out. The book was fantastic. The movie was like, it didn't quite capture what the book did.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, Lindsay, if you like The Secret, you'd probably like The Shack.
Okay.
The Shack is basically a book on if somebody did the most unspeakable thing to you, could you ever forgive them? And it delves into why you probably should.
Yeah.
But
cool, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
It's, all right, it's
but not the movie wasn't as good as the book.
Funch.
It never is.
Fast Track.
All right, Mace. Last week I gave you guys four quarantine houses.
Yep.
With five people each and told you to pick one. Let's flip that around. You get to pick your own quarantine house. You're one of the five, so you get to pick any four other people. The only prerequisite is that these people are alive. To make it interesting, you cannot pick your current partner or anybody in your family.
Yep.
What four people are you picking?
Okay.
Mace, where are you going?
Okay. As you know, I love Pope Francis. He is always going to be the answer to a lot of questions for me. He's my favorite pope of all time. I think he's number one on the pope power list. I'm going to put Barack Obama in the house, who I think is just one of the most interesting.
Very serious house so far.
Serious guy. I'm going to put Charlize Theron in the house.
Why?
Because
you're gay.
Because I love Charlize. I think she's so smart and also just absolutely beautiful. And then I'm going to put Keanu Reeves in the house for personal reasons.
All right, Lindsay, who goes in yours?
All right, so I'm kind of debating about the last one here, but
well, there's no wrong answers here.
I'm going to start with Zac Efron.
Okay.
He's a very good-looking man, and
yes.
Same with Channing Tatum. He's my second.
Yo, you're going full beefcake here.
No, that's just two of them. And then just for like entertainment comedy purposes, I'll pick Dave Chappelle.
Very good choice.
And then for the last one, I was thinking like chef or musician, which one would benefit me more? And I'm going to go musician, and I'm going to pick Neil Young.
Neil Young. Wow.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Do you know,
he'd
by the
great.
Way,
that's
do you know
very
who Neil Young,
house.
Do you know, Lindsay, do you know who Neil Young's married to right now?
I know who he's married to, but I can't think of the significance at the moment.
Daryl Hannah.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Kind of an unusual coupling. Funch, who are your four?
I remember seeing him on 2020.
Yeah, who are the four people in your quarantine house?
Have you heard of Action Bronson, guys?
No.
He's a rap. Yes. He's a guy in Vice. He's a rapper. He's also a cook, and he has a show. And just for the reason that he can cook, he can rap, and he also has the good greenery, I'm going to let him in the house.
There you go. Some good greenery.
And also J-Lo, because I love J-Lo. I'm just super in love with her. And I need some comedy. I'm going to go Chris Rock, because I love his comedy.
There you go.
All right, you need one more. You got one more spot, at least.
Oh, let's see. Can't think of anybody right now.
I mean, you could invite Bronstein if you want, but that'd be a waste of a spot.
No Bronson here.
you've got a hot woman in J-Lo. You got your Action Bronson. You've got Chris Rock. You don't want to. All right, I'll give you mine, Funch, and it may inspire you.
Okay.
First person I'm putting in mind, because I think he'd be fun as hell in a quarantine, Shaq.
Oh, he would be great.
Yeah, I think he would be willing to do anything, would come up with fun stuff to do, would play practical jokes on everybody. My second person, Larry David. And my third person, just to make each other laugh, J.B. Smoove. And so I'm taking two Curb people. And my fourth one, it was very tough, because, Mace, you know who I want to put in.
Yes.
It's Kate Beckinsale. Yeah. But I'm kicking her out for Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I may regret it, but I think Julia Louis-Dreyfus is
so funny.
That's
a funny house.
Shaq, Larry David, J.B. Smoove, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I think I could get through any quarantine with those. Funch, I thought you might have wanted to put Shaq in your house.
No. My last one is going to be Rihanna.
So Rihanna.
Action Bronson, J-Lo.
They can all be in the house.
Rihanna and J-Lo in the same house.
Why
wow.
not? A lot of eye candy. A lot of eye candy in my house.
There you go.
All right. There you have it. Funch.
Fast track.
By the way, Grant Delpit is the pick of the Cleveland Browns, safety from LSU. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are on the clock. Actually, let's take a break. Come back with more Fast Track. Funch is a question. Lindsay is a question. At 5:30, as we bear down on the Rams picks, we will get DeMarco Farr in here. We'll break up Fast Track with DeMarco Farr in here at the bottom of the hour. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, doing two things at once. We are covering the NFL draft for you. Round two is underway. The Rams are six picks away. We'll talk to DeMarco Farr at the bottom of the hour. NFL draft coverage on 710 ESPN. Brought to you by JoinLAPD.com. Visit JoinLAPD.com today to learn how you can make a difference in your community in a position that always remains essential. We will let you know that Denver Broncos have taken another wide receiver. Yesterday, they took Jerry Jeudy. Today, they take K.J. Hamler from Penn State with the 46th pick in the second round. The Falcons are on the clock. Their pick is in. Then it goes Jets, Steelers, Bears, Cowboys, and Rams. So we are keeping you up to date on everything that is going on there while we do some Fast Track. And Funch, it's to you.
Fast Track.
All right, so last weekend I finally watched the Quentin Tarantino Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and according to me, Funches, the movie critic, it wasn't good.
Really?
I thought it was too long.
I liked
it. Really didn't have a storyline. I fell asleep to the thing for about maybe 10 or 15 minutes.
You didn't like the end?
Here's where I'm going. I'll say this. The end was pretty good. It was really good, actually. And going to some of Quentin Tarantino's best movies lists, I see that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood cracks some people's top five, even top three. And I don't think you can even put this movie in the top eight Tarantino movies. With that, what are your top three Quentin Tarantino movies?
Well, if you listen to the show, you know I'm one of the few humans on Earth that did not like Pulp Fiction. I just think it's... maybe it was too hyped before I saw it, but that doesn't crack my top three. As you guys know, I get to play golf every once in a while with Samuel L. Jackson, so all my three are movies that he's in. He's been in six Quentin Tarantino
movies.
Except
for Pulp Fiction, which he was fantastic in.
Yeah. So mine are Jackie Brown, which I think is underrated.
Me too.
Django Unchained, also underrated.
It's great.
And Kill Bill, which there are two of them, so if I had to pick one, I'd pick the first one, but those are my three. Jackie Brown, Django Unchained, Kill Bill. Mason, Pulp Fiction is obviously one of yours, right?
Pulp Fiction actually changed modern cinema. It was an unbelievable screenplay. He won the Oscar for it, completely deserved. I agree. I love Pam Grier. I think she is such a... I got to meet her and interview her once. She is such a classy, intelligent, heroic actress, and I thought she was great in Jackie Brown, and Inglourious Basterds is my other for
another specific, one I don't like
for the specific reason that Hitler dies. He killed Hitler in Inglourious Basterds, and it opens with the creepiest scene in history with Christoph Waltz and those people underneath the floorboards of that house while he was drinking a glass of milk. So Inglourious is my third one.
Lindsay, what are your three?
I'm going to go with two of the obvious ones, Pulp Fiction, Kill Bill, and then the other one is, I think that's the right name, Grindhouse. The one
yeah,
with,
Grindhouse.
Rose
wow.
in it.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. That's a great movie. Love it.
Funch, what's your three?
Jackie Brown, and you guys are forgetting about Robert De Niro, who played a stoner ex-con, which kind of stole the show.
Oh, he
in
was
that
fantastic.
He's great in that movie.
Oh, and Bridget Fonda
that's
was
right,
so
that's
friggin'
right.
funny in that.
And also Django.
Bridget Fonda, by the way, in that movie, starts out smoking this little bong, and by the end is smoking the biggest bong I've ever seen. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
That's great. That was great. And also Django. Jamie Foxx just killed it. Leonardo DiCaprio just killed it. And also Pulp Fiction, the obvious.
What's interesting is none of us put Once Upon a Time in Hollywood on the list.
Yeah, well, let me circle back to that, Funch. What didn't work for you about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I just felt like it didn't have a real storyline. Like, I'm trying to get what the movie is about.
Well, the storyline is
about
altering...
to take you to Los Angeles in the 60s and what it was like. And I thought Macy did a great job with that. The look, the sound, the music.
And again, he stopped the Manson murders. Sharon Tate.
Spoiler alert.
Seriously, at this point, you have to have
and
seen
you,
it.
You guys like that ultra timeline thing that he does?
Yes.
It didn't bother me in that movie.
Yep, I do like it.
Sometimes it gets confusing, but I thought that they did a good job with it in that movie. But I'm obsessed with like crime and true crime and all that stuff. So I was not expecting the ending to end up the way that it did. I thought that it was just kind of like a copycat of.
And I had to go look up what happened. Really happened too.
Yeah,
you know, after the movie.
I always do that though.
Yeah. All right, Lindsay. Actually,
fast
hang
track.
On for just 1 second because the Atlanta Falcons are. The pick is in, and Roger Goodell is reading it. It is Marlon Davidson, defensive end from Auburn. Marlon Davidson, defensive end from Auburn, is the pick for the Atlanta Falcons.
And now the Rams are only four picks away.
Four
they don't
picks
move
away.
Up.
Yeah. All right, Lindsay.
All right, so as you guys know, we got to see a little different side of, you know, the everybody that was involved in the draft, from Commissioner Goodell to the coaches, the GMs, and the prospects. And you got to really literally see inside their homes. You saw kids making goofy faces, weird things going on in Mike Vrabel's house, John Elway being presumptuous by strategically placing his Lombardi trophies on a folding table right in front of his war room area. And I wanted to ask you guys, here's like, if I give you like five of what I thought were like the best setups or, areas, houses, whatever, living quarters that you want to call it. I want you guys to each rank them of which one you prefer, okay? So we're going to start with Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones on his $250 million super yacht.
Yep.
Okay.
Then we've got Cardinals head coach Cliff Kingsbury in his Scarface-looking glass house.
Yep.
Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer's luxury-style cabin, complete with mounted deer heads.
Yep.
You got Tampa Bay coach Bruce Arians on his fancy, awesome-looking outdoor porch. And then we've got New York Giants head coach Joe Judge on what is being called a classy porn set.
Yeah.
Where he was.
All right. Now, so I ranked Judge dead last. I thought that was just weird. I don't know what the hell he was going for there. And Dave Gettleman, his boss... it looked like he spent literally 30 seconds setting up. Like he threw up a card table and a chair in a basement with no artwork anywhere. So the Giants get an F for coach and GM in terms of setup. After that, my number four is Zimmer, just because I'm not a cabin guy. I'm not a hunter. I would not mount deer head. I know some people would, Mace. I would imagine Zimmer's going to play higher up on your list because you grew up a
hunter. Deer.
Yeah. My number three was Arians. Very impressed that he was, as far as I could tell, the only guy who set up outside. He was outside on his porch, which I thought was great for a guy who was a head coach in Florida. Number two was Jerry Jones on his yacht, because I would love to have a $200 million yacht, which I cannot afford. And number one, easy for me, was the Cliff Kingsbury modern glass house. I thought that was spectacular, and I want to go. I want to know what else that house has. I'm guessing it has a giant pool and about 15 bedrooms, and you can see from all. I just thought Kingsbury's house looked the best.
Let me know that the Seattle Seahawks take Daryl Taylor, defensive end from Tennessee, and the Rams are now just four picks away. I like Cliff Kingsbury's place the best. I like Jerry Jones' place the least. I think it's absolutely obnoxious.
It's pretty tacky looking, too.
Yeah, I thought that was just obnoxious. I mean, you know your audience. Everybody's locked into their homes right now, sheltering in place, and you're out on a friggin' yacht.
He's sheltered. He's on a yacht.
Yeah, no, I think that's obnoxious. I honestly think the most humble ones are the ones that I like the best.
Well, then
like
you should Belichick put, you should put Joe Judge second, then.
I like the humility. I think Joe Burrow did the best job. Just sitting in his house, in his living room, going to no trouble whatsoever. Humble. Humble is good.
Joe Burrow is not an option.
Then I'm going still Cliff Kingsbury number one, which is anything but humble.
Can't deny that.
Coming up next, we will go to DeMarco Farr. The Rams are three picks away, and we will have it for you live coming up. Mesa and Ireland, live draft coverage here on 710 ESPN. Doing two things at once, NFL draft coverage and Fast Track. We're just a couple of picks now away from the Rams' second pick in the second round. That is pick number 57. They went running back Cam Akers from Florida State with their 52nd pick in the draft, which was surprising to some people. All right, rolling on with Fast Track and Ireland. It's to who?
It's to you, but I can go. If you don't have one.
No, I got one. Okay. In the state of Nevada, one group, unlikely group, that also may be able to collect unemployment are professional gamblers. Like many states, Nevada closed non-essential businesses statewide to help curb the spread of coronavirus. People who gamble for a living normally would not be able to collect unemployment, but the statewide shutdown of casinos due to COVID-19 will change that. Nevada Governor Steve Sisolak ordered the shutdown of all casinos for April 30th and possibly longer, so gamblers will not be able to visit their work sites for at least 3 more weeks. John, is gambling a job? Don't most jobs contribute to society in some way? What product do gamblers actually create, and do you think they qualify for unemployment benefits?
100%. If that's their only means of income, and the way they contribute to society is by being a functioning member of it. If they, you know, go buy groceries and go get gas and pay their taxes and do all the things they're supposed to do. You can make an income a million different ways, but if you're a functioning member of society, which these guys are having trouble doing now because they have no income, you absolutely should be able to file for unemployment. Do you disagree?
Well, if you file a tax return with wins and losses, which is what you need to do to qualify for this, if you're filing a tax return every year, then yes. If you haven't filed a tax return and you're just saying, I'm a professional gambler, pretty much anybody can claim that in Las Vegas without any question. Don't you think the danger is fraud?
Yeah, but wait a minute. If they need to have a filed tax return and able to file for unemployment, don't you? I don't think you can have one without the other. You need to show that you have no income. So you,
right?
If they would base that on your tax return,
if you're listing that as your profession and you're showing wins and losses on your tax returns, then I guess you do qualify for unemployment.
You know,
something I hadn't thought about though.
Okay, and this is actually a really interesting question. So let's, Lindsay, one day next week, let's get Steve Fezzik on and ask him that. Ask him if we were a professional. It'd be fun to talk to the Fez anyway to see what people are betting on and doing. If you're a professional gambler, Do you file a tax return with wins and losses? And if you don't, can you file for unemployment? I don't think you can. I think you need A to get to B, if you know what I mean. So that's actually a really interesting question. I don't know the answer, but if they file a tax return and they have no income, I think they should be allowed to apply for unemployment.
All right, Buffalo's pick is in. Let's give it a moment. There it is, defensive end A.J. Epenesa, who I thought might be a pick for the Rams.
Okay, look out for the linebacker from Wisconsin for the Rams.
That's Zach Bond.
Right. They've got to make it past two more picks. They've got to make it past Baltimore and Miami, and then they could do it.
And I still also believe that Terrell Lewis, who's an edge rusher, from Bama could be the guy.
Yeah, and he was originally who ESPN projected the Rams would take at 52. By the way, I just got a note from Dave Singer, our old friend Dave Singer, who now works at the NFL Network. He says, everyone loved Cam Akers at the Combine. Deion Sanders was gushing over him. He's good. So there a little insight from our buddy at the NFL Network about the Rams' first second-round pick, Cam Akers. Fun?
All right.
Fast track.
Mason, till last month, Alabama head football coach Nick Saban had never had his own email account. Not only that, he'd never sent an email and never received one, never read one. His wife handled all of the email. But last month, she made him get his own account. The email was a major step up for Saban, but apparently he isn't using all of its functions. In an interview with the Dan Patrick Show on Wednesday, Saban said when he gets an email, he calls the person back rather than just replying.
Wow.
That would be a lot of phone calls. Saban also added he has never sent a text message in his life. That's fascinating
crazy
to me. Let's say you and I made a bet as to which one of us could go the longest without using texts or emails. Who would win and how long do you think you could go?
I can completely live without emails. Emails have become a total pain in the ass. I hardly ever use email. I always use text. How long could I go without texting? Not very long. I mean, that's how I stay in touch with my mom, with my family all day long. I would say I couldn't go very long without text. I could do away with email. Email's just a pain in the ass for me.
I would win the bet. I would, if you took my phone for a week, I think I might actually be happy. My phone to me is like, it happened again to me today. It's like an anchor. I can't, you know.
Right, but
I can't,
why when you go on vacation do you bring your phone?
Well, because I have a wife and a kid, so it's my way to communicate.
But aren't they with you?
Not all the time. Like if I'm out on the golf course and she's playing tennis, I got to know how to get a hold of her, and I got to know where Jack is and stuff like that. But
why does that count? Why does that count? If you got to stay in touch with the family, how are you going to get rid of your phone in general?
I would come up with a better. I would say, Lisa, you're in charge of all family communication. Here's. I would. In essence, I would turn back the clock. I would go back to 1990. Say, I'll be home at 4 o'clock.
We have done vacations successfully with no television, or radio, mm-hmm. or phone, or
you know,
computer.
No one believes you, and
well,
I made the mistake.
It's 100%.
It's not 100% true. You swore on it the last time you were there, and Ramona, I was sitting across from her.
One particular trip,
and Ramona,
that wasn't the trip.
Ramona said, "I said, you know, Mason, I'm a little jealous of Mason. He has disconnected." He's completely checked out of life. She said, I got a fantasy baseball trade from him 10 minutes ago. So you didn't disconnect. You cheated.
That was one time. I always try to disconnect when I go on vacation.
Right, but you're like Sliwa. If you do it one time, we all then assume you're a cheater.
Well, let me kind of defend Mason here, because as somebody who every year my family goes on this group vacation / reunion thing together, and we go up in the Allegheny Mountains where most of us don't have cell phone service. Yeah. And for a long time, you know, being like a teenager and stuff, like it was super annoying. But then over the past couple of years, as like more towers have popped up, I'm one of the few people that does get cell phone service, and I choose to turn my phone off. But yeah, I will say that maybe like 3 or 4 times throughout the week, I'll like drive up to like the clearing area and just check my voicemails and just see what's going on Twitter. But it's something where like I turn my phone off and I don't look at it. I don't touch it. I don't deal with it. except like to get like some baseball scores and see what's going on in the world. So,
but isn't there a part of you guys after hearing this story that thinks Nick Saban may be crazy like a fox?
Well, he's not leaving a paper trail. That's the brilliant thing.
If he doesn't have email and he doesn't do text, then he can kind of do whatever he wants, right?
Correct. He's not communicating.
He can always get in touch with the people he wants to, but they can never get in touch with him, which would be really cool.
By the way, that'd be a great way to live. The president of the United States does not email.
I believe that because how can I put this politely?
It would
show up in court.
It would create a paper trail. Exactly right. Yeah. All right. We will hang on for a minute here because we're really close to the Rams pick.
Right. And boy, I'm still fascinated by the Jalen Hurts pick by the Eagles. Aren't you?
Yeah,
they invested over $100
means.
Million in Carson Wentz, who's 25. By the way, the Ravens just took J.K. Dobbins, so the Rams can't take him now. With the 55th pick, they get the running back who had the most yards. So,
well, the Rams already took a running back. They're not going to take two running backs.
Well, you wouldn't think. But so now I'm thinking they take the linebacker, or do they take the wide receiver from Baylor?
Yeah, the wide receiver from Baylor is still there. Denzel Mims. They've got Zach Bond, a linebacker from Wisconsin. They've got Terrell Lewis, edge rusher from Bama. It's probably going to come from that group.
I think they got to go defense. They got a new defensive coordinator.
Yeah, Brandon Staley's new defensive coordinator.
Sean McVay is an offensive guy. You don't want to, like, stiff the new guy. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, and on top of that, they've got an enormous hole at linebacker with both Dante Fowler and Clay Matthews gone, along with Corey Singleton.
This is interesting. Mel Kiper says the Ravens' biggest need is at defensive tackle. So they may take a lineman or a linebacker here.
They're going to take a down lineman.
Maybe. The number one player available on Kiper's board is the wide receiver from Baylor. So, let's see. The Ravens pick is in. And then, Mace, only Miami would pick before the Rams. And again, no trades. No trades involving the Rams. Les Snead, I can't remember the last time Les Snead did a draft without some trades.
I don't know. They may have to take Denzel Mims. A lot of people saying that he is the sleeper that is still on the board, the best player that's on the board. But that would leave them wide open at linebacker where they really need to make a difference.
So, boy, they just gave Lamar Jackson a running back. Not that he needs one, but, you know, they have Mark Ingram already. But now, you know, Dobbins, he had more rushing yards than Ezekiel Elliott when he was at Ohio State. So that's how good this guy is. And now the Rams are two picks away.
Right, Dolphins and then Rams. Dolphins, then Rams. The Dolphins pick is in. I think they got to go defense on this pick.
I do too.
I think they're going to go linebacker.
Well, remember, too, Baltimore, Mace, probably should have gone to the Super Bowl. They were the best team in the regular season.
Yeah, they just blew it.
And they lost to the Titans, right?
My God, I was at the Coliseum and saw them just dismantle the Rams.
I think anybody who saw them play in person, and you did, would have told you that they were
Lamar
the best
Jackson
team.
Lamar Jackson threw 5 touchdown passes between the numbers. I mean, he was just ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Funch says he has Kurt Warner reacting to the Jalen Hurts pick.
Okay,
you
hear
that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Funch. Hit it.
I mean, you got your $100 million man there in Carson Wentz, but when you look at this guy in Jalen Hurts, he's a winner. You talked about it. No matter where he's been, no matter what you ask him to do, he just finds ways to win. And to me, when I look at a guy in the NFL and I say, who does he remind me of? He reminds me of a guy like Russell Wilson. May not be the most polished passer right now, growing in that area, but he can make plays, he can buy time, he can do it with his legs, he can do it with his arm, making big plays as he buys time out of the pocket. I'm fascinated by this pick and how they're going to use him. Do they put in a package for him so they can get Carson Wentz off the field? Maybe a run package for him, but it's going to be fascinating to see how they use these two guys.
That's going to be fascinating on how they use those two guys.
The Miami pick is in. It is a, as we suggested, it is a defensive tackle, Raekwon Davis, out of Alabama. So, boy, this Denzel Mims is just sitting there. But I think they got to go defense.
I think they're going to go Josh
Rams
Jones.
Rams are on the clock, by the way.
I think they're going to go Josh Jones.
Ahead of the Bond, the linebacker from Wisconsin?
Yeah, I think they're going to go Josh Jones.
Man.
I'm sorry. Not Josh Jones. I think they're going to go Zach Bond.
Yeah, that's the linebacker from Wisconsin.
Yeah. With maybe Terrell Lewis, the edge rusher from Bama.
One of those two?
Yeah, one of those two.
And if they really, if you're going best player available,
it's Mims.
Yeah. Wow. They've kind of this second round has kind of worked out for them. They've had some good choices here. Of course, last time we thought it would be Dobbins, and they went completely off the board.
Here's the we know the Dolphins pick, right?
Right. Yeah. This is Davis.
Dolphins take defensive tackle Alabama Raekwon Davis. So the Rams are on the clock.
Wow. Who are the Rams going to take? They got to go linebacker unless, boy, you said that you considered receiver to be in need. A lot of people had this receiver going in the first round.
Well, they like Josh. I know they love Josh Reynolds, and Reynolds did a great job filling in for Brandon Cooks last year. Les Snead had a quote earlier today. I don't think they're going wide receiver here. JB Long tweeted this out. Les Snead today: every round we pick in, there will probably be a wide receiver available that would be a benefit to the Rams. That means he thinks he can find a wide receiver in the third round. He thinks he can find one in the fourth round.
Vinny Bonsignore just tweeted, lots of directions the Rams can go here defensively, but they also like the wide receiver group too. We are just sitting there waiting. DeMarco said that Aaron Donald would be furious if they don't give him any help, because most of their losses have been on the defensive side of the ball.
Oh yeah, yeah, without question.
Clay Matthews, Eric Weddle, Corey Littleton,
Nickell Robey-Coleman. I mean, all those guys they've lost now. So they do need to reload on defense.
By the way,
they
Mel's best available just reloaded. It's now Zach Bond number one.
Okay.
So that may be where they go.
Yeah, Zach Bond.
It seems like number one player meeting a need.
Linebacker from Wisconsin. I think they got to go linebacker. Boy, you can't get – Mims is tempting, but you got to go linebacker, I think.
When's their first third-round pick? When's their next pick? Do you know?
They pick at – I do know. They pick at 84.
It's a long time before they pick again unless they make a deal.
Yeah, they pick at 84 and 104.
Right, so it would be
There's a long stretch here.
Yeah, they got to take somebody they need now.
Rams pick is in.
Yeah, but who
Rams take Florida wide receiver Van Jefferson with the pick they got from Houston for Brandon.
Wow,
Cooks.
So they did go wide receiver.
They went
wide
receiver.
Take Mims.
Van Jefferson. Do you have a Mel Kiper profile of Van Jefferson?
We're working on it.
Yeah, okay. That is stunning.
So they go wide receiver. It's not Denzel Mims, who a lot of people thought would be a first-rounder from Baylor. Here is Mel Kiper's rundown on the Rams' pick of wide receiver Van Jefferson.
Mel Kiper Jr.'s player profile.
You look at Van Jefferson, a great year for the Florida Gators. Lines up wide, either the right side or the left side. Very consistent. You talk about slant in traffic, in contested situations. He can catch the football. Very well-schooled, well-coached, well-drilled on the fundamentals of playing that wide receiver position. He's the kind of guy transitioning to the NFL game will not be a problem. He understands how to run routes, how to set up cornerback.
All right, that's all good.
Yep, Florida wide receiver Van Jefferson
so
is the
Rams,
choice. Still
the Rams go to Florida twice. They got a Florida State guy and a Florida guy.
Wow. Not at all what I expected. I thought defense.
Yeah. I said one of those guys was going to be a running back, but as we said to Lindsay Theory, we're thinking, Chris Landry, our old friend Chris Landry, says this guy has some of the best pass receiving hands in the whole draft, Van Jefferson.
Wow.
All right. Well, let's hang around so we can hear the pick. This is Sean McVay's an offensive
coach. This is Sean McVay. He is trying to juice up that offense with Todd Gurley gone and with Brandon Cooks gone. I mean, essentially, you've replaced Todd Gurley with Cam Akers, and you've replaced Brandon Cooks with Van Jefferson. And now, you know, the rest of the draft you have to figure is going to be defense.
Yeah, but we've been thinking that the whole time, and it's gone the other way.
But so. Third round, you got to go linebacker, man. You got to go linebacker. I like the secondary the way it is. You can add some depth. I like the defensive front, but it's that linebacker core where they lost Littleton. Clay Matthews is gone. They need edge rushing. Fowler is gone.
Yeah, Littleton's the big hole to fill. I mean, he was the second best player on your team. They're showing shots of McVay and Les Snead with his cool glasses, and wow. So the Rams go wide receiver and running back when they lost Dante Fowler, Corey Littleton, Clay Matthews, Nickell Roby Coleman,
and they go running back, wide receiver.
So they got Jared Goff some more weapons.
Yep,
which
they
might
absolutely
be fun,
do.
Which might be fun for you if you get to go into the new stadium. Here's the pick.
Let's go. With the 57th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Rams select Van Jefferson, wide receiver, Florida.
There it is, Van Jefferson, wide receiver, Florida. So the Rams go running back, wide receiver with their first two picks of the 2020 NFL Draft.
I covered Van Jefferson when his dad Sean played for the Chargers. You might remember.
Oh, okay,
Sean,
yeah, I didn't realize
for the
that.
Chargers. Yeah.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Steve Mason, John Ireland, along with Sliwa tonight, I put out a poll. The Rams drafted running back Cam Akers from Florida State, wide receiver Van Jefferson from Florida, put out a poll for Rams fans. Do you love it, or what are they doing? John, any idea? Alan, any idea how it breaks out right now?
Those are the only two choices?
Yep, love it, or what are they doing?
I'll say it's around 50-50.
Sliwa?
I'll go 60, what are you doing?
It is 53%, what are you doing? 47% love it. So, John, you were very close in saying it's about 50-50.
Well, since McVay's been there, the offensive players they've drafted have been pretty good. You know, Cooper Kupp, third round, turned out to be, you know, like you mentioned, Josh Reynolds, Mace. The
yep.
tight ends have been good. Hey, Funch, you have Daniel Jeremiah talking about Van Jefferson.
I think he's one of the elite route runners in this draft class, Trey. And it was a guy that everybody around the league seemed to be targeting in that third round range. And anytime that happens, you know somebody's going to go ahead and do it in the second round. He's creative in his release off the line of scrimmage. He's polished at the top of his rush or at the top of the route. And he's got incredibly strong hands. Also was a gunner on punt. He's very tough. I thought he compared to Cooper Kupp. That's why I compared him through the entire process. And now he's got Cooper Kupp as a teammate. Pristine route runner.
There you have it. Compares favorably to Cooper Kupp. You can always use one of those guys, one of those Cooper Kupp guys who has been nothing short of a revelation for the Rams, the most reliable receiver they've got. along with Robert Woods. So they add Van Jefferson to that mix along with Josh Reynolds. And you've got a wide receiver core that looks really impressive. You add Cam Akers. George Sedano tweeted in and said Cam Akers really, really good. Dave Singer, who's our friend at the NFL Network, said Deion Sanders absolutely gushing over Cam Akers at the Combine. So you add him to a running back core that includes Darrell Henderson and Malcolm Brown, and you've really reloaded the offense. Todd Gurley is replaced by Cam Akers, essentially, and Van Jefferson replaces Brandon Cooks, who was shipped out to Houston. You have not addressed any of your defensive issues, as John is, and both of us have pointed out, gone from that defense, Dante Fowler and Clay Matthews, and Corey Singleton, Nickell Robey Coleman. So they have not addressed any of their defensive issues so far.
And Littleton's going to be a really, really big shoes to replace. Hey, Danny Cannell, who is, of course, a quarterback at Florida State, just tweeted this. Rams are cleaning up. Love that last two offensive weapons added for Jared Goff. Van Jefferson is exceptional talent. Great speed and route running abilities. Tough and smart football player. So Danny Cannell likes it. Hey, listen to this, Alan and Mace. Mike Florio's site, Pro Football Talk, says that when the Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts, it's not what the rest of us think. It's not competition for Carson Wentz. Their passing game quarterback and quarterback coach is a guy named Press Taylor. And Taylor hinted last year he'd like to have a guy like Taysom Hill. And here's what he said, quote, I think at some point one of the big things will be having multiple people on the field who can throw the ball. That's something going forward. You've seen the Philly special. You've seen all different versions of double passes. I think at some point I can see something like that coming into play. Taylor is intrigued by quarterbacks who have the athletic ability to play running back or wide receiver but also have a good arm. Can you imagine if that's why they did it? They're going to come up with some like video game type offense where Jalen Hurts lines up in the backfield or in the slot, and they throw it to him in a lateral, and then he throws it to somebody else?
So they're thinking about him like the kid from New Orleans.
Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill.
Yeah, this could be fun. Maybe that's where the league's going.
So, Macy, just back on the Rams side of it, so you don't mind the picks, you just don't like where they selected these positions as running back and wide receiver.
There goes Mims, Mace, to the Jets. Denzel Mims to the Jets.
No, I'm surprised they went two offensive players when they have lost so much on defense during this offseason. The picks, I'm sure are – I mean, I have confidence that Sean McVay knows how to identify an offensive player that fits into a system. But you're instituting a new defense, at least new defensive wrinkles. You're still going to run a 3-4, but you've got a brand new defensive coordinator, and all of a sudden he's lost a bunch of weapons from last year, and he's got to figure out how to make it work this year. I got to figure the rest of this draft, after you take two potentially star offensive players, you've got to go defense in the
focus
rest of this
deep
draft.
Yeah, it's interesting because I know yesterday doing the show with Kirk, and that's kind of the – Kirk mentioned this a couple different times, just the defensive players, right? You lose so much of guys that you were depending on defense. He thought specifically early that that's maybe where the Rams would go. But I think like you said, when you put up a poll like that, you got a lot of people that always think offense. They like offense more than they like defense, but it's a fair question both sides.
Hey, am I the only one who thinks that Roger Goodell has actually done a really good job the last 2 days? That's done. I know everybody hates him, and everybody hates all commissioners, and everybody nobody ever says anything good about. But I think he, under the circumstances, has done a really good job. Anybody agree?
No, I think he's done great. I love too that he's kind of bought into the whole booing the commissioner. I mean, he was encouraging that yesterday from different fan bases. Listen, John, I was doing this probably about a month ago when the NFL was pretty much saying, hey, we're not going to move the draft. This is where we're going to do it. I was critical. I was saying, well, all the other sports are moving whatever events that they have. Why does the NFL feel like they don't have to? And really, I think it's come out as – I think the NFL's looked great. I think consumers loved all of it because look at the numbers yesterday. They most watched NFL draft ever. So the NFL came out really well, and I think Roger Goodell came out much better than he would in some of these live audiences.
And I got to say, the production of this thing has been pretty impeccable. When you figure the degree of difficulty that that this had to be, I mean, they've got Zoom cameras everywhere. They're linking up with how many different players as they are drafted, along with all of the executives, along with all of the analysts. I mean, the degree of difficulty on this is really, really high, and they have pulled that part of it off really well. Roger Goodell also benefits from the fact that we are in a desert when it comes to sports content. We've got a Michael Jordan documentary, which has shaped our world for the last week or so. And now we've got the NFL draft. And those are really the only two shows in town. So in the middle of a sports desert, Roger Goodell is like the oasis of this whole thing. We've actually got something going on.
Mace, you kind of take even, you know, you guys know how much I love the NBA. But I think they probably grabbed a lot of casual NFL fans that are there. They're there September through December and the postseason as well. But maybe they're not following free agency the way they are this year. Maybe they're not following the draft the way they are this year. And I think that hits exactly what you're saying, Mace. We're stuck at home. But I know myself and a lot of people that are huge NBA fans, they're kind of locked in these last, you know, week and a half or so as far as the NFL draft goes, and they were definitely locked into free agency, so they took full advantage. How cool is it, by the way, too, John? Just like it adds this seeing all these GMs and coaches at home, and you see their kids all huddled around the computer. Like it adds, we're never going to see this again, you know, but it added this element that NFL is. The perception of the NFL is so much different than what we've seen over the last 24 hours with the draft.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, Alan. There's something really different about seeing guys at home, not worried about what they're wearing and walking a runway. And you're seeing guys, I think, in a more real way. There's something homey about this experience. You're able to, I mean, I saw a funny bit where, you know, we're seeing all these analysts on different networks and what's in the background. Like, for example, right now on the screen, the Titans pick is in and there's a Marilyn Monroe painting for some reason on the back wall. It's like, what does it mean? There's something interesting in every single room. Bill Belichick is catching a football right now and just hanging around with two laptops. It's like you're seeing what guys' lives are really like. This is Bill Belichick's kitchen we're looking at right now. Mm-hmm. You wonder, how does Bill Belichick live? Now you've got kind of an idea of it. He lives in sort of a humble place at his kitchen table, probably where he does a lot of his game prep. There's something actually kind of cool about that. We're seeing everybody in their kind of in their native environment.
And we can relate to it, you know, like this. They usually do all this from a war room. That's what they call it, right? These unbelievable. These are mostly at the facilities. They're in their living room, and Mace, we're in ours, you know. So there's something about that. I think that's unique. And listen, whether in a year from now, if all that obviously goes back to the way it was, then we'll just remember this as being one of those unique drafts that we may never have anything like this again.
All right, hey, Fun, should we try and call Lindsay Theory? I mean, I know she's got to be swamped after the Rams just made two picks, but we had her on the show earlier. And
we're going to have her on Monday.
Is that how we resolved this? Okay.
I don't think they could. She could because the Rams are having a presser right now.
Right now. Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I figured. It. You know, the other thing is this, Jerry Jones was talking about this, that what you guys were just saying about how you're doing it from home. It sometimes helps if you're the only one making decisions. If you've got too many people, like Jerry Jones told his scouts, don't bother me during the draft. I don't want a whole bunch of outside influence. Now, some people will bury themselves in analysis, kind of like Mason with his mock drafts. But other people like the idea of, okay, I'm going to make a decision and stick to it. And then not having analysis or paralysis by analysis sometimes helps. So it looks like it's just Les Snead and Sean McVay.
Well, and Sean McVay, I mean, Vinny Bonsignor just tweeted, Van Jefferson, big favorite of Rams coach Sean McVay, as was Cam Akers, offensive head coach, getting guys he knows fits his scheme.
There you go.
They want to score points.
Well, maybe, Mace, it could be very fun for you and the other season ticket holders. Maybe they're just going to outscore everybody.
Yeah, maybe that's the game plan.
Yeah, that's what they did 2 years ago when we went to the Super Bowl. They averaged, what, like 38 points a game? You know, maybe that's their plan.
It's so funny. I mean, you think about it, John. You know, I followed that team all the way to the Super Bowl in Atlanta where we scored 3 points. Scored big all year long until the Super Bowl where we scored three
Bill Belichick
points. Yeah, that was Bill Belichick. So defense won that day. But you look at teams like the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens, and you look and see how they score, and that's the game you need to play now. You need to outscore the other guy because teams are putting up huge points. What's interesting is in their division, the San Francisco 49ers have one of the elite defenses in the NFL. So you've got an elite defense and an improving Rams offense. It'll be interesting to see how those two things go head-to-head during this 2020 season whenever we do get it.
And, you know, what's interesting is we all thought that Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator for the Niners, was going to be the first guy who got a head coaching job, and he didn't.
Yeah.
I think he's still there, isn't he? So he's coming back with the majority of those defensive guys.
John, what did you think of your Raiders yesterday?
I liked the first pick. I wasn't crazy about the second one. I think Henry Ruggs is the fastest player in the draft, mm-hmm. and Derek Carr needs that. He needs to stretch the field because he has a really good tight end, and so he can throw over the middle now because you're going to have to go with Ruggs. That's what Alan. That's why they got Antonio Brown. He was going to be like their stretch the field deep threat, and obviously he blew up in their face. So I love the Ruggs pick. The corner they took with the second pick, most draft people thought he was going to be around in the second or third round.
Yeah.
And they took him in the first round. So we'll see how that goes. But here's the thing. The thing that made me kind of give up on the Raiders, like that ended my Raider fandom, was when they traded Khalil Mack for draft picks. These are the draft picks. Mm. So this is what John Gruden traded Khalil Mack for. Is these guys. So he has to get these right. If he gets them right and nails it, then I was wrong. He should have traded Khalil Mack. But if he doesn't, we never should have done that trade. So it's going to be a very interesting year. If we play, I mean, that's the other thing.
Yeah, that's the other dynamic. Here we are. You know, there's a lot of hope tonight, right? Because it feels like, hey, life is normal. We've got the NFL draft like we do every year at this time, but we still don't know exactly when the season is going to be played, how it's going to be played, how it's going to be started, how they're going to, is it going to
be? Are they going to be in the new stadium? Will you ever set foot in there? Will they have fans in there? There's so many questions.
Yeah, there's so many questions, but it's almost like this is a break from all of that stuff, and it does feel like life's normal. We're doing the same show today that we would be if we weren't in quarantine because we're covering the NFL draft.
Yeah, Cam Akers, by the way, the Rams, the first pick the Rams had in the second round, the 52nd pick, said he's doing a conference call right now with reporters, and he says he's happy to go to a team that asked running backs to carry and catch the ball because he knew that. According to Kevin Modesty of the LA Daily News, says he doesn't sound like he's fazed by being chosen to replace Todd Gurley. When asked about that, Aker said, "Thank God I'm in that situation." So he seems to embrace it.
All right. Our NFL draft coverage on 710 ESPN is brought to you by joinlapd.com. Visit joinlapd.com today to learn how you can make a difference in your community in a position that always remains essential. That's it for us. We're back Monday at 2:55 sharp. Joe Buck on a perfect day will be joining us along with Lindsay Theory. And coming up next for you is the Sliwa Show. Alan, continued coverage of the NFL draft. And what else?
Kirk Morrison will be on the draft as well. So we'll continue to break down all the picks.
All right, cool. See you guys Monday. Have a good weekend under the circumstances. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Okay,
right.
Cool. We will work Alan Sliwa into the mix next. Coverage of the NFL draft continues here. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.